Hallelujah. I wonder if you'd stand to your feet all over the building and just give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. There is power in that name. That name is above every other name. The Bible says that at that name, one day every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want to proclaim that right now. He is Lord. Amen. 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 He is Lord. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John. I have one little point I want to point out today. I will not be long. We're going to have a baptism after Brother Ethan is going to be getting baptized. We're excited about what God is doing with our children, our young people, our church. Amen, amen, amen. Good to have Sister Candace back in the back there again. Glad to have her back. She keeps coming like that. We're just going to call her one of ours. Glad she is here. John chapter 4, verse 23. But the hour cometh. You know, there's something to be said about time. Time. Think about it. You have your schedule for the week. You have your time for today. You have, you know, a set time for everything we do. Time. And time stops for nobody. It doesn't matter if you get paid $8 an hour. $500 an hour. Time is the same for everybody. We all have the same amount of time in a day. Time. But the hour cometh. There's going to come an hour. There's going to come a time. But the hour cometh, and now is. Now is. I like that. When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So today we're going to talk about true worship. True worship. Dear Jesus, bless us today as we come to hear your word. Open our minds and our hearts to understanding. Give us a desire to live for you above all else. Make us willing servants, O Lord. Guide and keep each word that I speak in love and in your will. I give you thanks and praise in advance for what you've already done in this service and in our hearts and our lives. And I thank you for what you're going to do. We give you praise. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say true worship, true worship. You may be seated. True worship. The words spirit and truth. Now is. Hour cometh. Must worship in spirit. These words, you know, words, I know I'm a little different than most people, a lot different than most people. But words have a way of just going around in my head, and I begin to think of the meanings and the why was this said? Why is this being expressed? And you begin to look throughout the Bible about worship and true worship and what is required and what we do, not just because it's required or we have to, but we choose to worship. We choose to give praise. From the very first choir on the hillside at the time of Jesus' birth to the declaration of Thomas that said, "My Lord and my God." After the Lord's resurrection, the Gospels confirm Jesus' word in our text. For the hour cometh and now is. Those words, spirit and truth, refer to worshiping from the heart. Everybody say heart. Worshiping from the heart in complete sincerity to God. Jesus rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees when he said in Matthew 15:7, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Where is your heart? Ironically, this is February, the heart month. You walk in any grocery store, any place of business that sells merchandise, and you're going to see hearts. Where is your heart? Where is your affection? Where is your worship being directed? We've been talking upstairs with the children about keys, the keys to the kingdom, and keys open up things. You know, each and every one of us are a key. You open somebody for somebody somewhere just by your being, by your attitude and your spirit. You're a key. So this month we've kicked it over into what's the key to your heart. Whole nother message, I'll get on it later, but what's the key to your heart? The true worship comes from the heart. But these Pharisees and these scribes, he says, they worshiped and they honored with their mouth and their lips. Their lips were moving, their mouths were moving as long as somebody was watching. I have a problem with that. You can't do it when nobody's watching. Why are you doing it when somebody is watching? It's got to come from the heart. It's got to be pure worship. It's got to be just because it's right here between me and God. If you're there and you happen to see me, hey, so be it. But I'm not doing it because you're there watching. But these guys were. So he's getting on to them a little bit. But true worship, sincere worship, is a different emotional. It's a definite emotional relationship and connection to God that comes from an individual's heart. You've got to worship God for yourself. You've got to want to praise God for yourself. You can't do it because mom and dad do it. You can't do it because brother so-and-so does it or sister so-and-so does it or you're trying to put on a show. You've got to worship God from your heart for yourself. We're talking about true worship this morning. Sometimes true worship is accompanied by tears, and sometimes it's accompanied by rejoicing or by shouts of praise. It's a reflection. It's like that light he was talking about this morning. You know, he got to talking about that light, and I kind of looked up a little bit. We have one light over here that if you sit in that corner, it's shining. If you look at these lights that we just put in, you're going to see a white dot for several moments afterwards. So he's talking about the light, and I was blinded by that light, and I was trying to focus on it. It was bad. Don't look at that light right there. I promise you, it'll make you blind. But you've got to have the light of God in your life. True worship is a reflection of the restrained feelings and in the soul of one who worships. You've got to let those feelings and those emotions out of true love and true passion and true relationship with God. You know, it is impossible to have true worship without emotion. It's an emotional experience. Our God is an emotional. He all the feelings you experience, he has. He's jealous. He'll get angry. Oh yeah. You set something else up before him instead of him. You better watch out. It's just like us trying to live without oxygen. Try not to breathe for the next 10 minutes. You're going to be in trouble. So worship, it's tied to this emotion, these human feelings that we experience. And anybody can read aloud from a prayer book. No offense. Anybody can quote and read a little saying. I went to a Lutheran funeral. The guy I went with was a pastor of a church in Texas. You know, you go west of 45 and you're not in the Bible Belt anymore. It's different. And it was a funeral. It was different. I'd never seen anything like it. I walked in the back door. They had the casket sitting by the back door, and everybody walked by and was saying hi. They walked by. They handed them a pamphlet. They opened it up, and they began to read the entire message. Everything was, they read it. The whole church read it together. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm not here to just have a relationship with God that I have to read from a book or a piece of paper. I want a relationship right here that God can begin to deal with me and talk to me on the battlefield of my mind when nobody else can see and nobody else can hear and nobody else understands, but God does. And God begins to work with me and talk to me and say, hey, buddy, you need to pray some more. And you need to look at this scripture right here. You need to let your light shine. You need to be happy. You need to have a smile on your face because other people are watching and seeing and they're going to absorb what you put out. And if all you put out is a pout, nobody wants to be around a pouter. Nobody wants to be around a whiner. Nobody wants to be around somebody who is always griping. I'm sorry. No offense. But true worship comes from the heart. So if you're not willing to worship God from your heart, then you're just putting on a show. And that's not cool. That's not good. So anybody can read from a book or from a quote after what I'm saying. Follow a certain religious procedure. And I mean no disrespect to anybody, but you have not truly worshiped in spirit and in truth until you have given vent to the inward feelings of your soul. And your soul, because just something inside of you begins to bubble up and come out, and you'll have a voice that you've never experienced before. You'll have a relationship that you've never, and that just love and that connection, it'll just get all over you. Doesn't mean you have to hang from the lights or run a 4.8 second 40-yard dash. You don't have to do that. It's about real, true relationship with God. It's about laying down laying down the spirit of heaviness and picking up the garments of praise. It's about putting everything else aside and just saying, God, I'm here for you. I'm here, God, not because of my needs, but I'm here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm here to worship the Creator, the God of glory, the one who put the stars in their silver sockets, the one who made the glorious mountains and the hills and the light and the darkness and divided the two, the one who created all the creatures. I'm here to worship that God. And I give you praise and I give you glory. And I promise you, just like Brother Baggett preached last Sunday, make a deliberate decision and take a step towards God. And when you'll step out by faith and begin to have true worship in your heart and in your family, in your home, it starts in the home, it starts in your heart. When you begin to have true worship begin to develop and start in your heart, and you'll take that step towards God, I promise you, God will be before you opening doors that should be opening and shutting doors that should be shut. And oh yeah, there's some doors that need to be shut and there's some doors that need to be opened. And some things only come by prayer and by fasting. Some things only come by true worship and relationship with God. You've got to unlock this secret place that I'm talking about of worship. Open up your heart. Open up your soul. Open up your mind today. From this day forward, make a decision. I'm not going back. I'm not going to be the same person that I was. I'm going to be different. I'm going to have a renewing of my mind. God, take all the scars, all the hurt, all the pain. Just take it away where we can just have true worship from our heart. Unlock the key to your heart this morning and let true worship, let God step in on your behalf. Hallelujah. So when Jesus, we see other scriptures after in the Bible, when Jesus comes to Simon's house to eat with him, a very sinful woman comes into the house, and she brings with her an alabaster box of ointment. In Luke 7 and 38 we read, and we pick up, and it stood at his feet behind him weeping. Emotion. Relationship. Sincerity. Weeping. And begin to wash his feet with tears. And did wipe them with the hairs of her head. And kissed his feet. And anointed them with the ointment. True worship. What a sincere picture of worship they paint for us here. Simon condemned this in his heart, this form of worship, and how dare she come in and wash your feet with her hair. And Jesus praised the woman's actions. Jesus praised it. He forgave her sins. Yes, he did. In the 3.5 years or so of Jesus' earthly ministry, he had performed many miracles, and he healed many that were sick, and he comforted the sorrowful, and he ministered to the needy, and these needs were known throughout all of the land of Israel and the surrounding areas. And Jesus comes to Jerusalem for the last time before his crucifixion in Matthew 21:8, and it says, "And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from their trees and shaw them in the way, and the multitudes that were before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." They were worshiping in spirit and in truth. You know, it's always kind of amazed me. Side note here, you know, my brain works, but side note here, just a week later, they're crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. So that tells me that humans and we fleshly-minded, fleshly-driven at times people, we can flip a switch. Don't flip a switch. Get in true relationship with God. Get in true relationship with God. Hosanna in the highest. This was like rolling out the red carpet. This was like, they were showing praises to him and worshiping him completely. The entire area. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Luke 19:39, "Master," this is Luke, and he records some of what the Pharisees are saying unto Jesus. And they're talking, and they say, "Well, Master, rebuke thy disciples." And he answered and said unto them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." I don't want a stone crying out for Christopher Lowell Gidrose. I want to say, praise God. Glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lands. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus Christ is Lord, not only of my life, but he is Lord of all. Oh, I want to have true relationship. I want to have true worship. You know, true relationship comes from communication. You've got to communicate with God. You got to communicate. You got to talk back and forth to have a relationship. You've got to not only pray and praise and worship, but sometimes you need to listen. Some of the old timers years ago when I was a little boy, they'd go in the prayer room, and before church would ever start, the power of the Holy Ghost was already falling in the prayer room. People are getting healed and filled in the prayer room. Some of them old women would be in there just praying and crying and travailing. About 10, 15 minutes of me being there, they'd just go, "Oh God," just begin to call on God and just not say nothing, not talk, not read a paragraph. Just they were listening to God. They were letting God minister back to them and touch them in their heart and in their mind. Where are our old timers that do that now? We need that again. Our children need to see that. They need to hear that. I've caught Sister Baggett before anybody was in there. Several times I've caught you. And I'm sorry I'm saying this, but I've caught her in there praying, crying, lost in the Holy Ghost, in the presence of God. I'm talking about long before most people get there, she'll be in there praying in the presence of God. So you walk into that and you already feel the atmosphere and the relationship that's going on. You can plug in. Yeah, you get a power strip, has multiple plugs, you can plug into that. Yeah, because it's true worship. It's true relationship with God. It's amazing to me that people that are so opposed and strongly opposed to loud praises of worship to God, they're usually ready to join the noise of those who express the feelings that are against truth. Well, I can't believe he hollered like that, or they prayed like that. The scripture says, and he's talking about to these Pharisees, and these Pharisees, they had joined the angry, railing mob and crying out at this point, "Crucify him. Crucify him. Kill him. Kill him." And Pilate, who is trying him, he tried to reason with them. And he asked them in Mark 15 and 14, "Why? What evil hath he done? What has he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him. Kill him." If anyone has something to get emotional over, those who have been liberated from sin and delivered from your past has something to be emotionally attached to and get emotional over. In Psalms 107 and 2, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." If you're not willing to say so, then I question, are you truly redeemed? "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Make a joyful noise, the psalmist said in Psalms 101 and 2. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." Hallelujah. I've come to make a joyful noise this morning. I've come to worship him in spirit and in truth. In another place, he begins it like this in Psalms 47. "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph, for the Lord most high is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth." Hallelujah. I've come to tell you, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is Alpha and he is Omega. He is the beginning and he is the ending. He is the first and he is the last. That's good news for you and I, because that means before your problem ever began,